Get ready for magic, manifestation, joyful goal achievement, and maybe the occasional unicorn. This is the Slay and Thrive podcast. On this show, high performance meets high alignment as we tap into divine masculine action and will alongside feminine flow and receptivity. You don't have to choose between beast mode and manifesting goddess. You are both and get to have both. I'm your host, Kayla McDonald, personal trainer turned health and energetic mentor who is on a mission to help every listener experience their innate worthiness, reclaim their power, and set themselves free. It's time to grab your journal, remember how magical you truly are, and tune in to this week's episode. Let's do this. Welcome back, Slay and Thriver. As always, I am so deeply grateful to you for tuning in and spending some of your time with me. And I know that today's episode is going to be well worth your time. In this episode, I talk about one of the biggest epiphanies I've had in a long time. It's one of the epiphanies where I knew I had to put it into action, and putting it into action has been magic. I've also experienced so many benefits and up-levels after this moment of clarity and insight, so I knew I had to share it with you. This episode is all about balancing your slay and thrive energy. We're going to talk about two archetypes in this episode. One of them is a slay archetype, and one is a thrive archetype. And our goal in this, and my intention, is that we keep both of these in balance. They both have gifts, wisdom, and we want to use both of their gifts in the right doses with the right balance. Full disclosure, as we get into this episode, I'm going to be sharing something that is not part of my highlight reel, even though I did experience benefits as a result. This was actually one of my lower self moments where my initial response was to kick myself and beat myself up. But then I had to remind myself that I'm human and I drop the ball sometimes. And what matters after dropping the ball is how I can learn from my own errors and missteps. But I also believe that dropping the ball and making mistakes are some of the places where our most profound epiphanies can come from if we're looking for them. I'm going to share what I learned after temporarily forgetting my own wedding anniversary and how this lesson has been the biggest game changer of the year so far. And it's related to these two archetypes I'm talking about today. I'm also going to be sharing the one thing to focus on to thrive on a daily basis. We think it's even more important to put additional focus on our thrive energy so that feminine, receptive, present part of us in the here and now. I believe for most people, myself included, there's a default to gravitate towards slay because we live in a world where masculine types of achievement are celebrated. And there's a lot of glorifying of hard work and grind and hustle and discipline. And those things are amazing to a point until they become more helpful than hurtful. I'm also going to talk about why putting more focus on thriving puts us in a state of experiencing more happiness, obviously, because we're thriving. It's also going to boost our energy and help us achieve more in our daily lives. Let's talk about how this came up for me. Like I said, this is not a highlight reel moment for me by any means. And I think it's important to share some of the lows in the name of authenticity, because I think a lot of people just share the highlight reels. And I think this is especially valuable when there's a lot of learning from the low times. And I always want to make sure I'm never one of those people who simply shares the wins, because I want to let you know that I'm a human who makes all the mistakes and doesn't have it all figured out either. So there's no pedestal I ever want to put myself on, because I believe we're all just people together on this journey, moving towards whatever it is we desire. There's a deep equality I want to have with you as a listener. And that's why I'm sharing this. This lesson showed up for me back in mid-March. To be specific, it started on March 10th, the day before my wedding anniversary. At this time, I was still sick. I had just had the most challenging week of work I'd ever had because I was still not feeling well. So I wasn't sleeping because I was up all night with this terrible cough, and my whole body just hurt to the point I was actually in tears on one of my work days, which kind of made me feel like a weak ass bitch, but it was the thing. And I hate being sick. It is one of the things that makes me more angry and frustrated than anything, largely because it slows me down and negatively affects my workouts or projects or other things I want to be doing. Basically, it just throws a big wrench in my plans. So after this very challenging work week, I took the whole weekend off. I didn't work out. I rested. And I thought that taking Friday and Saturday off to rest would be plenty of time, because I'd already been sick since February 19th, not that I was counting. But I got up on Sunday, March 10th, after coughing all night, still feeling crappy. Now we're on to almost 4 weeks of being sick. And I'm one of these people who has been very spoiled in the past, where I would generally only get sick once a year, sometimes only once every 2 years. And it would be very minor, and maybe a day or two, I would feel a little crummy, and that's it. This was not the case this time. And part of my routine in the morning is to pull a tarot card. It's a fun practice that I picked up, and I love to include it as part of my journaling. On Sunday, March 10th, I pull the Two of Cups. So from the tarot deck I have, each deck usually has its own book with a guide to the different cards. Here are a few of the key words and ideas that come up for the Two of Cups. Things like partnership, attraction, soulmates, friendships. This card is about having relationships that are in balance and gives the advice to appreciate your soulmates. There was also this description of the Two of Cups from the Tarot Club, which is an online website. Really love their descriptions of different cards. So I'll link their interpretation in the episode description. In this description, it says, twos are about balance, harmony, and sometimes conflict, which is caused by trying to find a balance between opposing energies. If you experience conflict under the influence of this card, then you need to examine where your fear lies and what that means. This idea of balance and harmony and opposing energy is going to be important to the themes of this episode, which is why I wanted to share that with you. Not going to lie, I was annoyed when I pulled this card because my ego wanted some kind of card that would indicate I'd be restored to full health very soon. something like the sun or maybe a positive earth card. But I went about my day still feeling crappy, still feeling a lot of attachment to getting better so I could start my workouts and go back to doing all of the things I wanted to do. The next day, March 11th, my wedding anniversary. This was a Monday. I wake up after coughing all night long again, still feeling like garbage. So I don't do my workout that morning, but I still take a couple minutes to do my regular journal practice. And on this day, I pull the Six of Cups. This is a card about support, reflection, karma, and memories. From my guidebooks, it had these themes: calm, serenity, acceptance. It was about a calm after the storm. And it's about learning to accept limits and grow a deeper appreciation for those close to you in your life. And I love that I have my journal entries to look back on so that I can see just how my thoughts worked at the moment. I wrote in my journal that day about how annoyed I was to keep pulling these stupid happy water cards when I was feeling so sick. To me, at the time, didn't make any sense. Then I dragged myself into my bedroom that morning to grab my purse and say goodbye to Chris before I leave for work. I work a lot earlier than he does, so he's usually still in bed when I leave. So I give him a quick kiss and then grumble about how annoyed I am that I'm still not better, because that is what my brain is solely focused on. One of my lesser qualities is that when I'm focused on something, I often can't see other things. I'm just this dog with a bone. And then he goes, "Hey, come here. I need a hug from you on our anniversary." Of course, there was this instant shame and disbelief. Like, how could I have even temporarily forgotten that? Yes, it was only 5 in the morning and I was sleep deprived and not feeling well, but I usually have a superhuman ability to remember all the dates. You can tell me your birthday once, and I usually remember it forever. I had this client who once mentioned her birthday to me, and then a couple years later, because I'd been training her for quite some time, she was talking about her birthday coming up. And I was like, "Yeah, it's the 29th, right?" And she gave me this look like I was this stalker. Like, "Who did you know that?" And I said, "You mentioned it once, like 2 years ago. No big deal." And yet I forgot my own anniversary for a brief moment. So, like I said, not my greatest moment, but it was a great moment in the long run because I had this epiphany that changed so much for me. At this point, which I think it was the next day, I finally got what those two water cards had been trying to tell me. So, these are some of the notes from my journal. I might have edited out some curse words and such to keep it PG, but this is the gist of it. Okay. You get it now. Both the Six of Cups and the Two of Cups from the last 2 days. Was your wedding anniversary yesterday, and you actually forgot that in the midst of being sick and feeling sorry for yourself. You forgot your own anniversary, your first anniversary. And all along, you've had this amazing husband who has been taking care of you while you're sick and being there for you. He is the greatest gift you have ever been given from the universe. And you don't always act like it. You get butthurt about things like messes in the house or about other dumb things that don't matter as much as how lucky you are to have him. These last two cards, even though you didn't understand them in the moment, now make the most sense possible. They were trying to steer your focus on to what truly matters, instead of the silly little things like getting sick temporarily. So you have a cough that keeps you up at night. You also have the most amazing husband who has taken such good care of you and doesn't even make you sleep on the couch with your stupid coughing. These cards, these joyful cards, weren't mocking you in your times of being sick. If you had paid attention, they were trying to get you to see how much you have to be grateful for and that you don't have to keep wallowing because you're temporarily sick. That was what I wrote in my journal, some of the things. The wild thing is, as soon as I had this epiphany, my cough started to subside. I started sleeping again and I got better. By Wednesday, 2 days later, I was back to doing workouts, feeling energized and like myself again. This led me to realize how important it is to balance two archetypes in our lives. And we all have these. I have them, you have them. You might call them different things. These are my names. First archetype is the dopamine dominatrix. She is forever cracking the whip, wanting us to do more, get more, achieve more, succeed more. As soon as she sets one goal and achieves it, she's setting another one. As soon as she makes some money, she's trying to make more. It's never enough because she's all about the chase, not the prize. Right around this time, I'd recently read a book about dopamine called The Molecule of More. I'll link the book in the episode description for you. In the book, they write, from dopamine's point of view, having things is uninteresting. It's only getting things that matter. If you live under a bridge, dopamine makes you want a tent. If you live in a tent, dopamine makes you want a house. If you live in the most expensive mansion in the world, dopamine makes you want a castle on the moon. Dopamine has no standard for good and seeks no finish line. Dopamine circuits in the brain can be stimulated only by the possibility of whatever is shiny and new, never mind how perfect things are at the moment. The dopamine motto is more. And personally, when I am not conscious, my dopamine dominatrix takes over. My sleigh energy becomes very imbalanced. I was heavy into sleigh energy when I got sick. I was about to run my half marathon. I had just increased my level of discipline and follow-through with my nutrition and was incredibly successful with that. And I was in the middle of my podcast rebrand. I had so many goals and so many things happening. When I got sick, my dopamine dominatrix was mad. She was seething in the corner because she wanted to go again, start the next workout, do more things. And I think it was my imbalance of sleigh energy that kept me sick for much longer until I learned the lesson. The big lesson was to remember there is another archetype to embody on this journey. This archetype I like to call my serotonin seductress. I named this archetype from the book The Molecule of More. And in this book, they write this about serotonin versus dopamine. Dopamine isn't the pleasure molecule after all, it's the anticipation molecule. To enjoy the things we have, as opposed to the things that are only possible, our brains must transition from future-oriented dopamine to present-oriented chemicals, a collection of neurotransmitters we call the here and now molecules, or the H and Ns. Most people have heard of the H and Ns. They include serotonin, oxytocin, endorphins, your brain's version of morphine, and a class of chemicals called, oh my goodness, I'm going to try and say this, endocannabinoids. So that's your brain's version of marijuana. If I mispronounce that, my apologies. All right, the quote continues. As opposed to the pleasure of anticipation via dopamine, these chemicals give us pleasure from sensation and emotion. In fact, one of the endocannabinoid molecules is called it's called something that I'm not going to be able to pronounce. I apologize. And this word is named after a Sanskrit word that means joy, bliss, and delight. The thing is, We all have these two archetypes. Again, we might give them different names, but in some form with some name, you have a dopamine dominatrix, a future-focused, goal-oriented, chasing, pursuing badass who just wants to go. And she knows how to slay. But we're not just here to slay. And we don't want to get so caught up in slaying that we forget to thrive. So you want to activate this beautiful feminine serotonin seductress. She knows how to seduce us into states of pleasure and joy by getting us to show up with gratitude for what we have now instead of always chasing more. I do not exaggerate when I say that Chris is the best part of my life and the most incredible gift I've ever been given from the universe. You're probably sick of hearing it. Sadly, you'll probably continue to hear it. Not sadly, unapologetically continue to say it. Forgive me. Don't forgive me. I'm not sorry. All right. So, best gift in the universe. And you can get the best gift from the universe and still become habituated to that gift if you aren't conscious. You can start to take these gifts for granted, unless you remember to activate your serotonin seductress. To think about all the things you already have in your life that are amazing, things you once cried over because you wanted them so badly and wished for them with all your heart. And remembering through activating your serotonin seductress to continue experiencing appreciation for them and being present for the things you've already manifested. Think about this in your own life. What are some of the things you've already achieved or manifested that you once had deep desire for? Was it a partner, home, a job, an improved state of health? And have these things started to unintentionally blend into the background as you pursue new things, as you call in other manifestations? What would it look like to remember how much of a gift these things are and show up with full presence for them? Here's the magic that happens when you do this. More consistent to access to joy and happiness. My deep desire and hope for this episode is that you hear this, it resonates. You put your focus on those beautiful manifestations you've already brought into being, and you feel instantly better. So that's the first thing, more consistent access to joy and happiness, even on demand. You're also going to have more presence, deeper, better relationships. You're going to have more energy, greater health. Like I said, 4 week sickness, I had been fighting. Like we're talking, I threw supplements at it. I was doing immunity meditations. I was like efforting to make this go away. And all of that fighting became unnecessary. And sickness melted away within days of activating my serotonin seductress. So it's very deep health you will get as a result. And as a result of deep health and more energy, here's the great paradox. When you have more energy and deep health because you're appreciating what you already have, interestingly, you're going to be more productive and enjoy your periods of productivity so much more. That has for sure been the case for me. When you bring your slaying dominatrix and your thriving seductress into balance, and I want you to know here, balance for you is going to look different than it might for me, and it can also vary from season to season. You might need more slay in one period and more thrive in another. But when you bring these two archetypes into balance, you will have joy, happiness, health, energy, progress, momentum. Everything you could desire paradoxically comes from appreciating all you already have that you once desired. Your Thrive Challenge this week, we're heavy into the Thrive this week. is to activate your serotonin seductress. If you've instead been hanging out with the dominatrix a lot, then it's time to spend some quality time with this other archetype. We want you to find ways to show deep gratitude and reverence for what you already have. Celebrate the things in your life that are working and be super present to them. I mean, it's one thing to half-heartedly give your husband a hug when you get home from work, and it's another to throw your arms around him and squeeze him super tight for a solid 20 seconds while feeling how blessed you are to have him. Hope this reminder has come to you exactly when you needed it, as it did for me. And again, just thank you for spending some time here. Next week in the episode, I'm going to be dropping in even deeper into how you can work with this serotonin seductress archetype. I hope you will join me for that one as well. Until next time, I'm wishing you a pleasurable, present, thriving rest of your week as you continue to slay at the same time. And I look forward to connecting in a future episode. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. If you want to join a community of other Slay and Thrive Warrior Queens who are committed to their growth and expansion, feel free to join our Facebook community. You'll find journal prompts, challenges, and full-length trainings, including Worthy, Cultivating Enoughness from Within. Click the link in the episode description to join us. And until next time, keep slaying and thriving.